you feel better now, a little more freer. Yeah, you know, you got, yeah, there you go. You got it all taken care of, all right. Okay, well, it's an honor for my family and I to be here this morning. We count it a great honor. The friendship that we have with Pastor Tony and ECC goes a long way. And I was telling him yesterday that I remember there was a yellow wall back here. I think that's the last time we were here. But thank you for the honor of having us come to share. Pastor Julius, it's great to see you, sir. Pastor Julius and us go a long way, as far back as 1993. I think that's the first time we met. He was actually, he was my lecturer at Bible school. So that's a great man of God right there. So I'm here today. He deposited something in my life. So I hope I do well. The pressure is on. So I hope I do well. But it's a great honor for us to be here today. Amen. Let's just pray together. Father, we thank you for this time that we can come before you, our ears open, our hearts open, to receive your word. This is your word, Father, the very engrafted word of God that is able to save our souls. We thank you, Father, that this word is forever settled in heaven. It will not fail. It will not return to you void. But thank you that today it will accomplish the purpose for which it has been sent, the purpose for which, God, we gather here today for. We thank you, God, that this word is inspired of you. It's breathed of you. And this morning, it's profitable for our correction. It's profitable for our instruction. It's profitable, Father God, for our training in righteousness, that we may be fully equipped for the work of ministry. We thank you, Lord God, that this word is our life. And so as we share in your word, Holy Spirit, you are the Spirit of truth. We ask that you open our eyes and our ears to hear and to receive truth as you'd want it presented. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. There was something I was reading on Facebook. I guess everybody has a Facebook account in here. And don't be holy. Come on. Y'all got Facebook. It's all right. Yeah, I have a Facebook account. So there, I laid it out. Okay, there's something I was reading on Facebook that I thought was very good because I laughed my head off. So this guy writes and he says, you know, there was people that were dealing with people that were mentally retarded. And so they gathered them in a room and they had an artist come and paint a door on the wall. And so when they gathered them in the room, because they wanted to kind of gauge whether something is really happening in their lives or not. So they gathered all these people that are mentally retarded in a room and someone painted a door on a wall. And so, you know, and before long, the observers noticed that the people began to want to fight to get out of the room through the painted door. But there was one man who sat down, you know, watching everybody else. So the doctors were like, huh, probably something has happened to this gentleman. And so they went over to ask him and said, why are you not fighting to get out through the door? He laughed and said, you know what? Because I have the key. Okay, we'll try that next time. He had the key, so go figure. All right, Acts chapter 2, and let's read verse 1. Acts chapter 2. We'll start from verse 1. If you could turn my mic down just a little bit. Because I might get loud. Yeah. Okay, yeah, that's good. Thank you. Acts chapter 2. Let's read from verse 1 to verse 4. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared on them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Jump over to verse 36. The Bible says, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus whom you crucified both Lord and Christ. Now when they had heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Then Peter said to them, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call." Amen. For our subject this afternoon, I want to deal with empowered by the Holy Spirit. Amen. Empowered by the Holy Spirit. Now, what I want to do is go back in time with you. All of us watch movies, yeah? I like to watch war movies, you know, investigative movies. Okay, there's a time when a movie starts. It starts from the end. You understand? There's a scene that has happened, and then they tell you 3 months prior. Okay, so let's do something like that, okay? So we're going to go back in time, okay? So this event has happened, but what led to this event to take place in the book of Acts chapter 2? Amen? We live in a time that the body of Christ, to some degree, is no longer talking about the essentials of what Christian life really is about. When was the last time you heard someone preach about the blood of Jesus? When was the last time you heard someone preach about prayer and fasting? When was the last time you heard someone talk about commitment to God? When was the last time you heard someone talk about the Holy Spirit? When was the last time you heard someone talk about the Word of God, the importance of prayer? The church is caught up in a mold of wanting to rationalize how the Word of God is to be preached, how we are to live our Christian life on the earth. Amen? But I want to submit to you that there's nothing greater than the Word of God. There's no standard higher than God's Word. This is our lifeline. This is our reference point. This is our beginning and end. Your argument starts and ends here, not philosophies of men. Okay? So, in the book of Genesis chapter 1, if you can flip there, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, very, very, you know, familiar scripture, verse 1 and 2, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. If you're there, say amen. The Bible says, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light." The Amplified Version says, "In the beginning, God prepared, formed, fashioned, and created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and an empty waste, and darkness was upon the face of every of the very great deep. The Spirit of God was moving, hovering, brooding over the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light." The Message translation says, first this: God created heavens and earth, or you see or you don't see. Earth was a soup of nothingness, a bottomless emptiness, an inky blackness. God's Spirit brooded like a bird above the watery abyss. God spoke light, and light appeared. The reason I read those scriptures is that's where it all begins. The Spirit of God hovered. The Spirit of God was over the face of the deep. Over the face of the deep, that's translated as like a bird, like a hen that's hovering over the eggs. She hovers over those eggs until they hatch. Amen. So the Spirit of God hovered, remained over the face of the deep until the face of the deep was mature, was ripened to receive the Word of God. Then God said, let there be light. And there was light because the Spirit of God was present. Amen? Because the Spirit of God was present. Before God could ever even say, let there be light, there had to be the hovering of the Holy Spirit. There had to be the hovering of the Holy Spirit. Amen? May I submit to you this afternoon that for anything to happen in a believer's life, for anything to have an impact, or for your life to have an effect in your society, in your community, in your home, in your family, there's got to be hovering of the Holy Spirit over your life. Amen? There's got to be a brooding of the Holy Spirit over your life. Because when your life is overshadowed by the Holy Spirit, guess what? You become ripened for the Word of God to manifest in your life and through your life. Amen? We all know the story of Mary, visited by an angel Gabriel. He says the word to her, and what happens? He says, the Spirit of God will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. The overshadowing is what caused the pregnancy to take place of that word in her. Is everyone talking with me? Okay, all right. Everyone's like, just want to make sure that we're together. Amen. So there's got to be a hovering in the beginning. It all started with God. It all started with God. How dare we think we can go out there and make a difference in our own strength when God himself couldn't even say, let there be light, without the presence of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Empowered by the Holy Spirit. You with me? Empowered by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, like I said, had to be present for what God spoke to become. Amen. What God spoke had to become. So the word plus the Holy Spirit equals light. That's my mathematics from Genesis 1. The Spirit and the Word equals light. Light is life. If we turned off this light in here and it became pitch dark, all of us will be, some of us will feel uncomfortable. Some of us will be nervous, will be trying to get out of this room. Why? Because you become insecure. So there's something about light that makes us feel confident. There's something about light that lets us feel we're in control and we're safe. And that's the first thing God did. Let there be light. Light, light, light. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word became flesh. And the Word dwelt amongst men. And the Word was, he was the, he was light. Looking for you. Get back in the Word. He was light, the light that shone amongst them, the light that lit up the darkness. So Jesus Christ is a living Word. Amen. So he spoke, and the word light came forth. And because light came forth, we were able to, you know, have an encounter with Jesus Christ. So the first thing that I believe that ever happens to a child of God is that when the Spirit and the Word, you know, get hold of your life, light comes, understanding comes, insight comes, revelation comes, light of God's Word. Amen. Empowered by the Word, by the Holy Spirit. You can preach, you can, you know, shout, you can make noise, but without the Holy Spirit, you can do nothing. It's empty. You cannot preach Jesus without the Holy Spirit. Neither can you talk about the Holy Spirit without Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen? All right, so the Bible says that God said, let there be light, because the Spirit hovered over the face of the deep. Amen? For dynamite, all of us have seen dynamite before in movies, Western movies especially. You know, for dynamite to have an impact in whatever it's thrown in, there had to be a fuse. Okay? Now, if the fuse is not lit up, the dynamite won't explode. Okay? If the fuse is not lit up, the dynamite won't explode. Now, how many unlit fuses are walking around? Huh? How many of us are walking around without having our fuse lit up? How many of us are walking around without, you know, allowing the fire of the Spirit of God to get hold of our lives that we might go kaboom? Amen? Every time a dynamite goes off, you hear the big sound. Yes, the kaboom, kablooey, whatever they call it. That's the first thing that happens. Secondly, the ground is going to quiver. You're going to feel the rumbling in the ground because the dynamite has exploded. We are the salt of the earth and what? Light of the world. Do we have an impact in our world? Is our fuse lit up so that when we go boom, people hear the sound of heaven and people have an impact? They'll feel the trembling of the power of God, empowered by the Holy Spirit. Tell somebody, empowered by the Holy Spirit. Now you gotta say it like you mean it. Empowered by the Holy Spirit. Empowered by the Holy Spirit. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 and 27. The creation of man was both spoken and acted on. Genesis 1, 26, 27. The Bible says, God said, let us, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, make mankind in our image, after our likeness, and let them have complete authority over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and the 10 beasts, and over all the earth, and over everything that creeps upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image and likeness of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. Chapter 2, verse 7. Then the Lord formed man from the dust of the earth, the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of the spirit of life. And man became a living being, living soul. The word spirit that we read in Genesis chapter 1 is translated as breathe, as breath, as air, as strength, as energy. God came to man made of clay and breathed into him his spirit. So the first man was actually filled with the Holy Ghost. I can shout on that. Amen. He had a life of God within him. And God is the source of man's existence. The physical embodiment of God now was working in the garden that God had created. The physical embodiment of who God was, all that God was, now was working in the garden. He was working in the garden. And do you know that was the environment that God had created for man to live in? An environment in his presence, an environment where he would have fellowship with man. Amen. Let's talk about that for a little bit. Principle of environment. Now, this is something that I read in a book by Miles Monroe that I thought it was appropriate for now. Principle of environment. Webster's dictionary, translates environment as circumstances, objects, or conditions by which one is surrounded. Are we together on the environment? Okay. So everything in life was created to function within a particular environment that God prescribed for it before he created it. When God made man, he spoke to himself. Okay, and man came out of him. And so man was created to be both of the same essence as God, who is spirit, and to live in the same environment as God, which is the realm of the spirit, or the realm of God. Okay? Hope I'm not losing you. We're still talking about empowered by the Holy Spirit here. Remember, we've gone back several years back, so we're going to catch up. We must clearly understand the environment prescribed for each product. Let's imagine if these are real, okay? Just imagine with me that these are real, okay? They'd look so beautiful because the environment that they exist in is right, okay? They'd look so beautiful because they are planted, they're fertilized, they have manure for them to be able to feed off of and become as beautiful as they look, okay? So this is the environment for them to exist. If I took them out of the pot, the moment I take them out, guess what begins to happen? They begin to die because I'm taking them away from the environment that was created for them to exist and flourish and become what they're supposed to be. Okay? The principle of environment. So that's how God created man to function and to dwell in his presence, because man is created in the likeness and in the image of God. God is spirit. Man was created to be spirit. Amen? And so, what happened? Because God wanted man to be there. Let's move on. Death, I say this with all respect, death in a person's life, either man or woman, is the absence of God's presence. Amen. God told man that the moment you eat of this tree, you will die. Death happened when he was removed from God's presence. And as a result, death happens physically, spiritually, removal of God's presence. Amen. Eden was the place of God's presence, the place where God's presence dwelt on earth. It was the garden of his presence, the spot of his pleasantness. That was precisely where God placed Adam. And broken fellowship between God and man was the environment that God planned for man. This means that, now here we go. This means that you don't need church services. You don't need to sing hymns. You don't need a choir. I'll qualify myself. Everybody's like, okay. This means that you don't need, you know, a preacher to stand up here and tell you how to live your life. You know why? Because you will be dwelling in the environment that God created for you to dwell in. The reason that we come here and preach is because of sin. The reason that we come here and preach is because of the flaws in man. Take that away and we'll be kumbaya with God. Amen. Do you understand? So, if you dwell in the environment, now I'm not saying don't have fellowship. Hear me right. Come to church. Do not forsake the assembling together of believers. Amen. I'm not saying don't go tell pastor. Pastor told us don't come to church. We don't need you. No. I'm not saying that. Okay, I'm trying to work on a principle here that it is the environment where God has created for you to flourish in, that your life will flourish. It's not the church that's going to make it happen for you. It's not the preacher that's going to make it happen for you. It's not the choir that's going to make it happen for you. It is God and his presence that's going to make it happen for you. Amen? In the right environment. In the right environment. So nothing exists outside the environment that God created for it to function. Amen. So now, we're still moving. Genesis chapter 2, verse 19 to 25. God had created man so much that whatever he said was it. Verse 19 says, and out, this is Genesis chapter 2, verse 19 to 25, and out of the ground the Lord formed every wild beast and living creature of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called every living creature, that was its name. God never argued because he knew this guy is functioning where I want him to be. And so everything he says, that's it. And Adam gave names to all the livestock and the birds of the air and to every wild beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper or a helpmeet suitable, adapted, complementary for him. And the Lord caused man to fall in a deep sleep. And while he slept, he took one of his ribs and closed it up with flesh. And from the rib of his side, which the Lord had taken from man, he built up and made into a woman, and he brought her to man. And Adam said, this now is bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore, man shall leave his father and mother, and shall become united and cleave to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And the man and his wife were both naked and were not embarrassed or ashamed at each other's presence. So somebody comes into the picture there. Amen. God is so good that he does not want you to live life alone. Okay? God is so good that he brings friends around you. God is so good that once you dwell where he wants you to be, he's going to take care of business for you. You take care of his stuff, he takes care of you. Amen. Amen. You take care of what he's entrusted in your hands, he will take care of you. Amen. You will be blessed once you stay within the environment that God created for you to dwell in. Amen. Let me submit this to you. The same scenario of Adam falling asleep into a deep sleep. You know, at Calvary, Jesus Christ side was pierced, and out of it came water and blood. Here's something, you can agree with it or not, but here's what I felt God ministered to me. You know, Jesus had to go through a moment of deep sleep. okay, he went through a moment of deep sleep, and out of his side, the church was born.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Adam was put into a deep sleep, and out of his side, Eve was formed. He came to and found the woman standing. Jesus came to, and God says, hey, guess what? I got some people for you. The church is here for you. I thought that was neat, but amen. Amen. So, man's first helper, of course, let's move on. Man's first helper, Eve, you know, in chapter 3, she gets to be, you know, admiring the beauty of the garden and comes upon this tree. And here comes Mr. Slithering himself, you know, the serpent around, and, you know, tempts her. And she gives in and she sins and gives to her husband and he eats. And man's first helper fell into sin along with man. God did not set up man, because I know there are people that believe that, well, if God knew this was going to happen, why did he not stop it? God did not set up man. Man was given responsibility. It's man's responsibility. It was not God. It was man that was given the responsibility to tend, to keep, to nurture, to protect. So God did not set up man to fall. No, he did not. It was man's responsibility. He was caught off guard. He was caught off guard. And so from that moment, man and his wife were excommunicated from the fellowship, the environment where they're supposed to be, and death began to set in. Death began to occur. But God is so loving that everything from the book of Genesis to the book of Malachi, it's God's initiative to try to get man back into the environment. It's not man's thing. It's God reaching out to man. It's God trying to get this man back into the place where he belongs. So, sin transpired because of fellowship. Here's a question. Who do you hang around? Who are you hanging out with? What impact do they have on your life? Do they question your purpose? Do they question God in you? Do they question the faith that you have to such a degree that you say, you know what? Forget God. I think let's go hang out. You need to have around you people that are going to provoke you. I know it's not nice, but it's good. You can have around you people that need to provoke you so that you can pray. Amen? Hannah needed Penina, because if she was not there, she wouldn't have prayed the way she did and didn't have a Samuel. You need to hang around people that are going to provoke you to pray. People that are going to provoke you to study God's word. People that will provoke you to live like a Christian. Amen? You need to hang around people that are smarter than you. All right. People that are smarter than you, because you know why? Where you are going, the crowd's got to change. Where God wants to take you, the crowd has got to change. You can no longer hang out with the same people that you hang out with. They cannot come. They cannot go with you where you're going. So you need to do some soul searching. You need to go on Facebook and say, unfriend. You know, that group you have on Facebook that you are part of, check it out. Yeah? Okay. I'm preaching myself good. So, the whole process of God trying to reach out to man brings us to the book of John chapter 1, like we quoted earlier. John chapter 1, from verse 1 to 5, the Bible says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was God, and the Word was God himself. He was present originally with God. All things were made and came into existence through him. Without him was not even one thing made that has come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines on in the darkness, for the darkness has never overpowered it. The next day, John, now it's talking about John. John came, that's verse 29. The next day, John saw Jesus coming and said, "Look, there is a Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Verse 30, this is he of whom I said, "After me comes a man who has been prioritized, or who has more priority than me." Scripture goes on to say that if it had not been for the fact that God had told him that the person that you see the Holy Spirit come upon and remain, he is the one. Scripture says that in verse 33 of John chapter 1, that "I did not know him nor recognize him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'Upon whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, that one is he who baptized us with the Holy Spirit.'" Just like in the garden in Genesis, in John, the Holy Spirit had to be present for Jesus to be recognized by John as Jesus. Have you ever thought about that? John did not know who Jesus was until the Holy Spirit rested upon him. Jesus himself comes out and he says that, "I will go, but I will not leave you alone. I will leave a comforter, the Holy Spirit. If I don't go, he won't come. He is the Spirit of truth. He is the one that will be with you just as I have been with you. He will remain with you. He will remain with you." The Holy Spirit. He tells his disciples as he's going. This is now in the book of Acts chapter 1. As he's going, he says, "You receive power." Acts chapter 1 verse 8. "But you will receive power and the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." The Holy Spirit came upon Jesus' life. His life had an impact for 3 years that we still feel today, some over 2,000 years ago. The Holy Spirit, empowered by the Holy Spirit. So, it all started with God. Jesus Christ came, reconciling us to God, and still said, "You need the Holy Spirit. You will receive power. Your life as a child of God will have no impact. Your life, your dynamite won't go kablooey or kaboom without the Holy Spirit in your life." Amen. The Holy Spirit is that vital to our existence as a body of Christ. Is that vital to our lives here, ECC, the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit breaks chains. The Holy Spirit brings increase. The Holy Spirit is the one that empowers you to become a witness to Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit. Amen? The Holy Spirit. Now, present day. Okay, you're with me? Present day, Acts chapter 2. Verse 1 and 4, we read that scripture. "And when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all assembled together in one place. When suddenly there came from heaven a sound like the rushing of a violent," what? "Wind." What did we say the Spirit meant in Genesis? It was breath. It was wind. It was power. What do these guys now begin to experience? Suddenly in the room, there's a violent wind that comes in. And scripture says, "And there appeared on their heads cloven tongues of fire, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke in other tongues." Amen. Let's jump over now to where we were. You see, Peter stands up and preaches for the first time under the power of the Holy Spirit. A word that convicts 3,000 people. I don't think he ever had any public speaking lessons. I don't think he went to Bible school. I don't think he had a degree in business education or business administration, or I don't think He was a lawyer. I don't think he was a computer. I don't think he had Facebook or Twitter to say, hey, tweet, tweet, tweet. The Holy Ghost just fell. I don't think he had that. He had the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit. We need to rise up and be like Peter and John that come up and say, silver and gold have I none, but what I have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. We need the Holy Ghost in the church. We need the Holy Ghost upon the men and women of God so that when we stand to speak the word of God, heaven moves. Amen. We need the Holy Ghost on the young people. So when they go into school, they're firebrands of God. Amen. We need the Holy Ghost on the singles. So y'all can know whether it's a flesh mate or a soul mate. Amen. We need the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. Amen. Because I know there's a lot of flesh mates going around. The Holy Spirit will help you know who your soulmate is. Not your flesh mate. Flesh stinks, you know. Amen. We need the Holy Spirit in our time. We need the Holy Spirit in this day, in this generation. There's a lot, like I said when I started, there's a lot of reasoning going on when people encounter the Holy Spirit or when people want to have an impact. We want to have programs and agendas and take stuff. Yes, let's have that. Let's have all that. But let's have the Holy Ghost with that too. Amen. Let's have the Holy Ghost with that too. Then what we speak becomes life. Then the word in us that's been overshadowed by the Holy Spirit is ripe to affect a life. Amen. It's ripe to impact a generation. It's ripe to impact Farmers Branch. Amen. The word of God with the Holy Spirit equals light. Light is life. And that comes from the word of God. I have a challenge for us this morning, this afternoon. Do we have the Holy Ghost in our lives? Is he who is supposed to be in your life? Does he live out his full potential in you? Are you in the environment that God originally created for you to be in? Are you flourishing? Can we see your colors? Can we see the brightness of God's glory in you? Or do we have to dust you up a little bit? Are you full of the Holy Spirit? Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18 says, do not be drunk with wine because it is debauchery, but be filled. Be filled, continuous present tense. It means be filled and continue being filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled now and continue being filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit. You know where you are. As a believer, you know where you stand with God. As a believer, you know how you've lived your life. As a believer, you know where you are as far as doing what God has called you to do. The question is, are you going out there like Samson, shake yourself, you know, not knowing that the Holy Spirit has left because you did it before God moved in a mighty way. We raised the dead man from the dead. So let's go do it again, not knowing that the Holy Spirit has gone. Or are we broken vessels before him? Every day, Lord, fill me. Every day, Lord, empower me. Every day, Lord, pour into me. Every day, Lord, I want to overflow. Break the boundaries. Break the wineskin that's growing old. Tradition is an old wineskin. Culture is an old wineskin. Religion is an old wineskin. Color is an old wineskin. All right? We got to break it out. The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. Is Israel here? Let's all stand. Someone get Israel for me. The Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Let's all close our eyes. We need the Holy Spirit. I need the Holy Spirit. I need him now more than ever. I need the Holy Spirit now more than ever. Because the time is short. There's a lot of people that need to know Jesus Christ. There's a lot of people that need to see the power of God manifest. People came to Jesus, most of them because they saw the power of God at work in his life. Because at one time he fed 5,000. At another time, he raised someone's daughter from the dead. At another time, he cast out demons. The power of the Holy Spirit was at work in his life. We need the power of the Holy Spirit to be at work in our lives because he draws the people to himself. But we are to empty ourselves of our preconceived ideas, of our belief system, of our upbringing, of our spouse's opinion about us, of our siblings' opinion about us. We need to empty ourselves. I want you to take a moment and just say, Holy Spirit, pour into me. God, make me over. God, break me. Break the mold of my life. You pour in. You overflow in my life. You overflow in my life. Come on, saints. You gotta want this more than anything. Hallelujah. You overflow in my life. Holy Spirit, you overflow in my life. Holy Spirit, you have your full purpose in my life. Holy Spirit, you manifest in my life. Holy Spirit, you overflow in my life. Holy Spirit, you overflow in my ministry. You overflow in the body of Christ. Holy Ghost, you overflow. Holy Ghost, you overflow. Holy Ghost, you overflow. Holy Ghost, you overflow. You overflow. You overflow. In this place, you overflow. In our homes, you overflow. In our kids' lives, you overflow. In our work environments, you overflow. Holy Ghost, you overflow. It is you that makes a difference in our lives. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we need you tonight. We need you, Holy Spirit. 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 Hallelujah. If you are here in this place and you have run away from God, you're no longer on fire as you used to be. You're no longer as passionate about God as you used to be. You're no longer as sought out about God as you used to be. Yes, life happens. But come back home. Come home. Come home. Come back home. Come back home. Come back home. Come back home. I'm going to invite you, if you are here this morning, this afternoon, and your life is cold, your life is dry, come, come. It's not about the person that's standing next to you, it's about you this afternoon. This is you and God. This is you and God. You used to pray and people would be healed. You used to cast out demons, but today if we sent you out there, you'd be scared. Come, let's pray for you. Let's minister. Let's agree together that God would pour out his Spirit afresh on your life. Christian, listen to me. Be filled with the Holy Spirit and continue to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Be filled with the Holy Spirit and continue to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's all lift our hands this morning, this afternoon. Father, we receive your Spirit. Come on, tell him, Lord, thank you, Holy Spirit. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost, we thank you.
let your river flow, let your river flow. Holy Ghost, flow. Breathe upon us, Holy Spirit, this afternoon. Breathe upon us, Holy Ghost, in this place, in the name of Jesus. Breathe the breath of life on us, Spirit of God. Overflow, overflow, overflow in our lives, Holy Spirit. Come on, come on, call upon Him. Overflow in our lives, Holy Spirit. Come Holy Ghost, sing of our hearts. Come Holy Ghost, brood of our hearts. Come Holy Ghost, come Holy Ghost, come Holy Ghost, come Holy Ghost. Let everything that's been dead in our lives come to life. In the name of Jesus, let everything that's been dead come to life, Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah. Exalt you, King of Kings. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You exalted, O God.
For thou, O Lord, art high above all the earth.
Come on, tell him this.
Thou art exalted.
worship you, Lord. We worship you, Holy Spirit. We honor you, Holy Spirit. We adore you, oh Lord. We worship you, we worship you. We honor you, we honor you. We worship you, we worship you. We honor you, we honor you. We worship you, we worship you. We honor you, Lord. We honor you, Holy Spirit. We exalt you, Holy Spirit. We adore you, Holy Spirit. The life-giving Spirit. He is the life-giving Spirit. We adore you, Holy Spirit of the living God. We worship you, we worship you. We honor you, we honor you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. How we need you this afternoon. How we all need you this afternoon. How we all need you this afternoon. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Holy Spirit, we adore you. Thank you, Lord. Holy Spirit of the living God, we honor you. We are sorry, Lord, for the many times we have grieved you, because you sent him to be a helper to us. You send him to teach us even greater things, to do greater things than you did. And we thank you, Father God, as your sons and daughters, having the Holy Spirit residence in us, we're going to reach out, because he is the one who does the convicting. He convicts the world of sin and righteousness and judgment. And therefore, Holy Spirit of the living God, we surrender to you that even as we walk and fellowship with each other, that you shall convict us, Lord, to live within the environment that the Lord has created for each and every one of us. We thank you, Father, and we adore you. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody say amen. Amen. Amen.